Hello, everyone. Progressive senators have been pressing the Biden administration on two fronts in the Gaza war, expanding humanitarian aid to Palestinians and conditioning non-defensive military aid to Israel. What we have here are two sides of the same coin. You cannot safely deliver humanitarian assistance without a ceasefire and a halt to Israel's military operations, which use U.S. bombs and artillery shells. I reported a few weeks ago that Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland, joined by our Senator Jeff Merkley and 17 other senators, sought to amend an emergency national security bill that contained $14 billion in additional military aid to Israel. Van Hollen's amendment did not put stringent limits on the aid. It merely proposed that the State Department report on whether or not U.S. aid was being used in conformity with U.S. and international humanitarian laws. The amendment was not allowed up for a vote, but some of its language found its way into National Security Memorandum 20, which stands as official U.S. policy on weapons transfers. NSM 20 is a slight improvement on long-standing U.S. policy concerning the provision of military aid to human rights abusers. It requires that use of U.S. arms in violation of U.S. and international law be investigated and reported, with the possibility that violations will result in a pause or even termination of the aid. Whether or not the Biden administration will implement that policy to stop Prime Minister Netanyahu from seeking total victory is debatable. Up to now, the basic situation is this. The U.S. keeps shipping non-defensive weapons that Israel's army keeps using against civilian targets. This situation should not require more investigating and reporting, nor should it require further consultation with Israel's government to request adherence to humanitarian law and values. What is required is a U.S. decision to stop arming Israel with non-defensive weapons unless and until it adheres to U.S. and international law in its fight with Hamas. As Fareed Zakaria writes in a recent Washington Post editorial, quote, "The image of U.S. officials wringing their hands about civilian casualties while providing ever more weapons is grotesque." Senator Merkley put the matter correctly in a statement of February 16, in which he explained why he had voted against the emergency funding bill. Merkley's statement underscored two points. First, that U.S. weapons are being used against civilians in Gaza, contrary to international and humanitarian law and American values. And second, that Prime Minister Netanyahu has rejected every attempt by President Biden to restrain the use of force there and dramatically increase humanitarian aid to Gaza's civilians. The issue of arms to Israel raises the larger question of how to monitor and act on an ally's use of U.S. weapons for purposes other than self-defense. It is one thing for Israel to use U.S. weapons to go after Hamas following the October 7 attack, and quite another to engage in indiscriminate bombing of civilian targets that have resulted in what the UN and other observers call a humanitarian catastrophe. In that situation, the burden of proof should be on the arms recipient, Israel, either to restrain the behavior of its military forces or explain why it is using U.S. arms in ways that clearly will cause large civilian casualties and damage to civilian structures, such as hospitals and schools. When, as in the present instance, Israel is unwilling to restrain its military operations or provide a morally or legally acceptable explanation for the civilian losses, when in fact the Netanyahu government has shown consistent disregard for U.S. appeals, the U.S. government has the obligation not just to impose conditions on its aid, but to deny aid altogether. The moral dimension of the issue is no less important than the politics. As Senator Merkley's statement indicates, the Palestinian people are not the enemy, yet they have paid the highest price in this war. Over 30,000 dead, two-thirds of them women and children. Countless others have been injured, their livelihood shattered, their health care and educational systems destroyed. The deaths, most recently of 100 Gazans during food distribution, only underscores the desperate conditions there. Israel's principal justification for its military actions is national security. Yet while those actions will probably reduce the threat posed by Hamas in the immediate future, the argument is short-sighted. Hamas, or any organization that replaces or aligns with it, will have no trouble recruiting in the face of Israel's destruction of Gaza. Hezbollah and other hostile groups in the Middle East will be emboldened to engage in terrorist acts against Israel. Israel's Arab neighbors, starting with Saudi Arabia, will reject normalization of relations. Israel will lose valuable political support in Europe, the UN, and elsewhere. The accusation heard more and more that Israel is engaging in genocide and colonialism will resonate with many people who ordinarily are Israel's friend. Lastly, This war will profoundly affect Israeli democracy, further dividing the country and inviting government decisions that undermine human rights and the rule of law. In short, Israel's war on Hamas is increasing the country's insecurity, just as surely as it is increasing human insecurity for Palestinians. I'm Mel Gertoff of the Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.